Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's see. We'll get to Tim Riley here in just a moment as well. We'll go through these calls. We are asking you to complete this sentence. Quote, the closest I ever came to dying was, end quote. The end of the show, best story will win the final pair of tickets, actually, to House of Midnight. And the new Onion book as well, Destined for Destiny. What's today? Monday? So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So don't forget, we are, what, like 3 days away. Tom Likas will be doing his show from the CBS studios. And then this coming Friday, his show live from Barracuda, 3 to 7 downtown. Brought to you by Wild Turkey, Taboo Adult Video, and Team Quest Mixed Martial Arts and Fitness. That is this coming Friday, 3 to 7 at Barracuda. We'll all be there as well. And then the day before that, Thursday, he'll be on our show in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get to these calls in just 1 second. Ladies and gentlemen, live from the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Hello, everyone. Saudi Arabia's ambassador to the U.S. is warned against pulling troops out of Iraq too soon. How soon is soon? The ambassador said leaving Iraq abruptly would lead to ethnic cleansing and sectarian killing on a mass scale. Like, that's not going on.
And I love the phrase ethnic cleansing has somehow just been accepted by everybody, as opposed to genocide, which I believe ethnic cleansing makes it sound like you just say, like, you know, there's just people who just need a good scrubbing. Like, they just need to be taken down to the river and bathed gently with warm suds. As opposed to, I think that's actually just killing, is what they mean by that. I think it's a whole lot of killing and burying in a mass grave. Yeah, okay.
The Saudi explained, since America came into Iraq uninvited, it should not leave Iraq uninvited. That's a good way of thinking about it.
Sure. So if you break into a home, you should just stay there until they ask you politely to leave. It would be rude to burgle a home and then hang out forever, unless they ask you to stay. Yeah, okay.
Well, let's not get too concerned about this, because Americans should be thinking more about these high-energy drinks that we're giving the kids these days. Laura Jeffords is a nutrition specialist with the Cleveland Clinic, a world-renowned establishment, apparently. And she says if these kids drink these things, it'll damage their bones.
What happens with teenagers a lot of times is they think they can stay up all night and use these, to stay awake. And a lot of them will actually overdose on them.
Think they can stay on my lawn? Yeah. All right. Whatever.
And the bad part about this is, well, people in Tennessee keep having babies. And supporters for Tennessee's Defense of Marriage are hitting the road on a 25-stop bus tour. It's all about these activist judges.
This issue is vitally important to Tennesseans, and we need it in our constitutions beyond the grasp, beyond the touch of judges, beyond their purview of considering in any way altering it.
This isn't a nation of laws.
He doesn't really. That's crazy talk. All right. And these are what, from Tennessee?
Yes, the Defense of Marriage people who insist it's supposed to be one man and one woman.
They have made clear to us in Tennessee that we need to vote how on Amendment 1. Yes, that's right.
They need to vote how? Who's how?
I don't know.
How?
You got to hop aboard this Tennessee bus. I know.
Tennessee, who cares what they think?
Paula L. Brought her two daughters along, and she says, one man and one woman. She wants to make sure it stays that way.
Having it in the law doesn't mean a whole lot when you have judges who are legislating from the bench. So this is the only way to protect and make sure that it is set in stone and that there's no way to change it.
Seriously, this is why
we're Dixie Chicks fans.
I was just going to say, this is why I'm glad that handguns and liquor are freely available in this country, because people like this end up just taking care of themselves a little bit. You know what I mean? That's a herd of people. That's a gene pool that just gradually thins itself over time. Fantastic.
Include a couple of flamethrowers while you're at it.
Well, the great thing about it is, God has a wry sense of humor, as do the fates of karma and irony. So right there, she's there with her two kids, one of whom's going to turn out to just be a big, the big mullet wearer. You know that's how that works. You start bitching about gays, and your daughter starts playing field soccer. That's just the way that's just the way you're going to come home clutching a hockey stick, and that's just the way that God functions. All right.
At long last, it's half of the Darwin.
Thank you. Stuff is about to go down.
Don't. God's country.
I need all my caps.
Don't.
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one goes. And another one goes. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
Oh, my heart just stopped. Ah! there it goes.
Seriously, you bitch about gays that much in front of your daughter. You might as well just buy her keys to a Subaru right now. Here's Darwin Watch with Tim.
This comes to us from South Coffeyville, Oklahoma. It's not as big as the regular Coffeyville, but it's trying.
It is filled with God's people. Mm-hmm. These are now, this is a flyover state, is this not?
Yes, it is.
This is a red state.
Mm-hmm.
The common clay of the New West.
You just never have a hankering to stay a while in this spot.
Salt of the earth is what we're talking about. These are not like the godless people on the coasts.
No.
Perhaps in Eastern Oregon.
Where people actually live.
New York. Now, this is in a land where they are governed by the rules of Jesus.
Hot cider and apple pie.
Okay.
A man died after his head slammed into the side of a trailer as he bungee jumped out of a tree to frighten passengers on a Halloween-themed hayride. Several hundred people, including children who will be scarred for life, were attending the Trail of the Spooks hayride Saturday night when Frank Kester was fatally injured. The cable that kept them suspended snapped, said Cassie Jackson, who was on the ride when the accident occurred. At first, I thought it was just some dummy falling out of a tree. The trailer bumped up in the air when he hit. And everyone started screaming.
Measure the cable more carefully next time.
Well, he was taken to the Coffeyville Regional Medical Center, which is all the way in Kansas.
Which is basically a guy with a flashlight and a wire hanger who pokes at you a bit.
The guy with the flashlight on his head. Well, he was pronounced dead. He was wearing a body harness. He also hit a passenger's foot as he fell. The passenger was not seriously hurt. He was treated at the scene for a minor foot injury. Right now, it does look like a tragic accident, and the investigation is not complete as more officials are brought into Oklahoma to find out exactly what went on.
Spookiest Halloween ever. There's your Darwin Watch.
Don't. Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Hey, let's read one more, then we'll get these phone calls here, and then we'll have some more at the bottom of the hour.
All right. This comes to us from Florida, Cocoa Beach, Florida.
Oh, damn you. All right.
A 17-year-old shot and critically injured in Cocoa, Florida, was also robbed of his pants and shoes as he lay bleeding in a driveway. Stephen Corner was shot at 2 a.m. and was leaning against the car talking to a friend. While he lay there, somebody stole his pants and shoes, although several people were there. He was bleeding in the driveway for 10 minutes before anybody called the police.
That's not right.
He was airlifted to a regional medical center and is in serious condition today. Should anyone have spotted the pants, please contact the Cocoa Police Department or Crime Line at 800-423-TIPS. It can be anonymous, and there's a cash reward out there, at least $7 or
$8. There you go. We'll have more at the bottom of the hour from Tim Riley. Let's get a couple of these calls. We're asking you to finish the following sentence. The closest I ever came to dying was. People are very patient with us. Let's see. Eric, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Best show on the radio.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. I was 18 years old and moved to Alaska with a buddy of mine I grew up with here in Oregon. He had family up there. Hanging out first week, we're there, hanging out with about 20 guys that he grew up with as a young kid and some of his cousins and stuff out in the park when two lowriders full of Samoans fly into the parking lot, block both exits, and like four guys out of each car jump out, one guy out of each car with a gun. 15 of the guys go running off into the woods, and one guy follows them, and all we could hear is shot after shot.
I'm so unclear about what's happening. This sounds like a bad joke. So it's you and then a truckload of Samoans?
No, me, 20 friends, basically.
Yes.
And then two carloads of Samoans pull in, block the exits to the park. They had beef with one of the guys that went running off into the woods. I don't know.
Some
I didn't know anything about. They lined the five of us that didn't run off into the woods up into a line. I was, of course, at the end of the line. Goes down the line. It progressively gets worse. He gets to the guy next to me, splits his nose across his face, splatters blood all over him.
Oh.
All down my shirt. I was covered in this other guy's blood. Then he gets me, puts the gun right between my eyes on my forehead and says, "Didn't I meet you last week?" I said, "Yes." And that was the one time I've ever thanked God that I was a pot smoker when I was young, because I was buying pot from the same girl that he was randomly.
So really pot saved your life.
There you go.
So,
saved my life,
purchasing and consuming marijuana saved your life, kept you from dying.
And he said, oh, I remember you. What's up? Da, da, da. I would have been dead if I didn't do that.
He was ready to shoot you in the head, but only the Universal Brotherhood of Pot Smoking Enthusiasts.
Saved me. And I was like, man, I'm from Oregon. I know none of these people. I just want to go hang out in my truck. He's like, oh, no worries. Go for it. Nobody got shot, thank God.
That really, for a minute, seemed like it was going to be the worst, darkest story we'd ever heard. And then, through the miracle of weed, everything turned out okay in the end. Fantastic. That's a good one. Eric, I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty, let's make sure we have his information at the end of the show. We'll pick the best of these stories. Let me do one more here, and then we'll break. We got the Terry's been holding for a piece, as they say. Terry.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Terry, hey, what's up?
I fell out of a moving car.
Oh, that's no good.
And it was an antique car, and the driver was making a left-hand turn onto a busy street that was a four-lane highway.
Uh-huh.
And the side door that I was leaning against opened, and I went out onto the pavement. And the car that was behind us,
yeah.
I think I was moving just as fast towards him as he was moving towards me. And all I could see was, you know, headlights. And the car actually then screeching brakes on in front of me and behind me. And the car behind me almost ran me over. I was under the front bumper.
And so he came literally within inches of running you over.
It was like 3 inches.
And this was at night, too.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And I'll tell you, my life flashed in front of me right then.
Now, I always wonder about this. Let me ask you a question. When you say your life flashed in front of you, here's what you always hear from people. They'll say, well, I didn't think it was real. I didn't think that it actually happened until, you know, I was attacked by a shark or whatever, and then it happened. What is it? Is it possible to describe what that's like when your life actually flashed in front of your eyes?
Well, it is actually. It's almost like snapshots, like still snapshots of your life.
Uh-huh.
Important things that happen to you when growing up.
What are some of the things that flash in front of your eyes when you almost died?
Well, one of the things that flashed in front of me was the scene with my mom and dad. I mean, it sounds stupid, but you know that when I got married.
Right.
The birth of my children.
Which is so weird because that must have just been like, what, a second or two?
Oh, not even a second. I mean, flash.
Damn.
And it was creepy in a way, but it was very calming in another way. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, and then you didn't die at the end, so that's good.
No, I didn't, but boy, I'll tell you, it was really close.
All right, there you go. That's Terry. Fantastic. All right, well, fantastic that you lived. We're having you complete this sentence. The closest I ever came to dying was. We get back, we'll talk to Corey and David, plus Peter Carlin from the Oregonians. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11 o'clock tonight. We return after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. In just a few minutes here, we'll talk to Peter Carlin from the Oregonians. In the meantime, we are having you finish this magical phrase. Rick, the closest I ever came to dying was. Corey, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello!
Hello.
Corey, what's up, brother?
Not much. The closest I ever came to dying was, about, I think it was 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Kenya, a group of us. And this story involves a girl.
Okay, now, he says defensively, no one said it didn't, Corey. I'm sure you're all man.
From earlier, you said that not very many girls were calling in about this.
Well, I'm just, anything, like we had that thing about the pumpkin with the 3,000-pound counterweight that I guess tossed a midget or something inadvertently in Tiger. And I was just saying that anytime there's a story about somebody building a catapult whose sole purpose is to throw like a gourd for 5 football fields, that someone is a man. That's a woman doesn't ever do that. Okay, so you're in Kenya.
Yes, and right. This is the same girl that sat and read through the random fact books with me.
Okay.
We're wandering around out and we're in the Kakamega forest, and something came falling down out of the trees. We didn't know what it was.
Right.
Okay, and we went and got the rest of the group, came back, and it was a family of baboons. and they were throwing things out of the trees at us, try to get us to run away. But we thought it was funny and cute, so we turned around and...
Let's ignore the warning signal. Isn't it? Look at it's cute, the way they're the way these huge muscular creatures are trying to drive us out of their home.
Yeah,
let's stay and antagonize
really
them.
Too clearly, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the mom comes out into the middle of the path, maybe 20 feet in front of us.
Uh-huh.
She has her baby hanging from her stomach underneath, and she was just standing there grunting at us.
Yeah, make sure to especially pick out the large primate that's got the baby. That's the one you really want to taunt a lot. Make sure you do that.
Well, yeah, we should have thrown something back, maybe.
Yeah.
It might have been a little closer to dying. And they stood there on the path, though, for a while, grunting and moving a little towards us.
Now, I mean, how big is it? I mean, you talk about baboon. How big is one of those?
Well, crouching down, you know, they probably would have been near waist high.
But, I mean, when you look at one, do you think in your head, like, this is a thing that could kill me?
Not really, but they really could.
Fool.
They're really vicious.
Yeah. And so what, they just lunged right at you?
Well, they didn't quite. They came closer, and we started to back away. We had we'd been told how to deal with snakes, but not baboons, so we didn't know what really to do.
You skip that page in the book.
Yeah.
Baboons, let's skip forward to Gila Monster. Yeah, all right. So what did you just say? You eventually just ran?
Well, they were blocking the path back to where we needed to go.
Fantastic,
great. We couldn't get back out. And we started to just back away, and eventually they kind of wandered back out into the brush, and we started to then go back towards the camp. And they came out behind us and did start to chase us for a bit.
Oh, God.
And yeah, I've never run that fast in my life.
Yeah, dude, I can't even imagine. It's like when Animals Attack show first came on like a decade ago, and there was some idiot with a handy cam, and it's like, there's a leopard. And the guy's like, oh, let me get closer to it, and walk to the leopard. And then the leopard just looked at the camera with this, you know, with this look of like, what are you doing? Freaking fool. And the guy's like, let me walk towards it. I think I can make friends with it. And the leopard just lunges at the camera, and I'm sitting there in Salt Lake City on a sofa watching this on television, and I nearly soiled myself. So. All right, there you go. That's Corey. God bless you, sir. All right, we'll get back to these here in just a skosh. Let us now, do we have some sort of a song to welcome Peter Carlin with? I don't have my, let's see, with the whole, there we go. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
You.
From the Oregonian and OregonLive.com.
So much.
Our good friend Peter Carlin. Hello, sir.
Yo, hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, so you... Now, I was reading the thing. You launched some sort of a blog or something today?
No, last week.
Last week? That's what I meant to say. You launched a blog or something last week?
Yeah.
Oh, well, how is it different from your column, which has been online already? Because that's frankly where I read it, actually, is at Oregon Live. How is this different?
It's sloppier.
It's sloppier and often written while drunk.
It's sloppier.
Okay, then.
It's, I don't know, it's got, like, groovy links in it, and,
Now, is this just a television blog, or is this, like, Peter Carlin's musings on whatever?
Yeah, mostly the latter.
All right.
But with a lot, you know, but a lot of TV-type stuff.
Right, you have this, I think this is today, that's the problem, one of the problems, actually, with Oregon Live is I tend to not always know when something came out, but you've got this, I think this is actually today, this piece about the way that TV critics watch television as opposed to the people.
Yes.
And is it, because people have this idea, and I actually, like in the case of like music critics, I frequently believe this, that critics... The critics intentionally pick stuff that they know that, like, the common man won't like. And I don't know whether... I mean, I'm not saying that critics do it to look smarter than other people, but I think it's just that for a TV critic, it is so easy to get burned out on something. I would say that TV critics get sick of something at probably a rate 10 times what the average American does.
Well, sick of something like a particular show.
I'm saying, well, not even a particular show, but like a particular kind of show or a particular setup. Like, you know, in music. I'd say if you're a music critic. In fact, I think you actually told me once that the reason you didn't want to be a music critic is because you liked music too much and you just didn't want to have it force-fed to you.
Well, there's that, yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, you don't want to, if you really, really like something, you don't want to have to spend a lot of time sifting through the worst aspects of that thing. It's a bummer. I mean, I guess you could do it. I mean, I don't know. The other thing about me not being a music critic is that no one ever really invited me to be a music critic. So there was that.
Never asked. So I guess my question is, having read this this piece about critics and viewers, so I mean, you don't actually come out and say that the average American TV viewer, you know, has the brain of, you know, like a in a spool of thread.
But that's sort of hidden between the lines if you read it carefully.
Well, I mean, it's, I think that 90% of people are probably deeply stupid, because I think probably 90%, as Sturgeon's Law says, 90% of everything is deeply stupid.
Yeah.
You know? And, right. So as a result, the things that are really, that's why the things that are sort of challenging and groundbreaking, they have to now settle for getting a niche audience like The Daily Show, right?
Sure, yeah. But, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into why The Daily Show gets a niche audience or whatever and makes a fine. You know, it's hugely successful, even despite that. But the thing is, it's like, what I was trying to say in the piece today is that it's like, most people watch TV at home, after their day is over, with their feet up, on their way to bed, and just sort of making that adjustment between the frustrations and the angst of daily life and the sort of happier world of dreamland, where, so therefore there's a kind of and when I watch a lot of TV, obviously, and what I tend to see over and over again is this kind of this almost ritualistic playing out of certain fantasies or certain fears, and it just begins to seem a lot more like psychotherapy to me. So I was trying to bring that out in that story.
This is one of those days where you'd just rather be doing anything on earth than talking to me, isn't it?
Me, no. I'm happy to be talking to you. Why do you think I don't want to talk to you? I just blew off my editor because I'm talking.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, now he's coming back, though.
Oh, bastard.
He looks mad.
All right.
No, he's leaving again.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know that you do have a somewhat of a hectic schedule. I'll ask you a couple other things and we'll sort of expound.
No, I'm happy to talk to you.
No, it's okay. No, it's all right, Peter. No, I don't want
your hair, by the way.
I don't want you to have to feign anything.
No.
No, my hair. Well, I was just talking about this, actually. My hair is still very. My scalp is fine. Let's put it that way. It was that for a while that my scalp was not fit to be seen. Now my scalp is now fine, but of course the problem is that to do the procedure they actually had to give me I've called it like a reverse mohawk, where they had to cut sort of in the middle of my head. They had to cut it very, very short.
Yeah.
But of course the problem is, it gave me this sort of Thomas Edison hair, where it was like really short in the middle, and then on the sides, like I looked like Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future.
So are you like just getting reams and reams of crap from Mrs. Emerson?
No, actually, not at all. I mean, because
really?
Because I've been really upfront about this for the longest time.
Yeah.
If there was some scientific or medical way to not lose one's hair, I didn't want to do it. Like, I don't. A lot of guys will say that they don't care, or it's like my friend Patrick, he started to lose his hair, so he had really long blonde hair, started to go out, and he just shaved it.
Yo.
He just got out the clippers and went around. My friend Ian, same thing. Started to go bald, wham, went with the clippers. I am not that guy.
Did you weep when you spoke, or did you just busted out all your vulnerability and softened her up?
It's like I've said for years. In fact, she was, I've told this story too, that I can remember like it was yesterday, the moment that it was pointed out to me, and it was by her, that I had a bald spot, and this is like almost 10 years ago.
10 years ago?
Yeah, it was like 1998, something like that. We were living in San Diego, we'd gone to the beach, and she was, I had come home, and you get salt water in your hair, and so I'd showered. Anyway, so I'm right out of the, and I had really long hair at the time, like to my waist. I come out of the shower, I sit down, and I'm like, checking my email or whatever. And she's sort of standing behind me, give me like a neck rub or whatever. And she looks down, and she's like, "Why, you have a bald spot." And it's totally one of those dun, 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 and your brain is immediately stamping that and casting it in metal, and it's going into the file of, like, moments that you can't ever quite forget.
Yeah.
I can remember where we were sitting. I can remember what the weather was like. I can remember everything about that moment. And I have said from day one, I don't care what I have to do. If I have to get the hair transplant, if I have to get the rug, if I have to get whatever, that I do not want to be bald. It's just not a thing. Because some guys can do it. They can, they have, like, if you're a bigger guy or you're sort of a Michael Chiklis looking guy, you can do it. Me, I just look like Matthew Modine from Full Metal Jacket. I just look like a neo-Nazi. I look like I ought to be sitting at the top of a clock tower somewhere with a copy of Mein Kampf and a peanut butter sandwich.
When she said that to you, you cried, didn't you?
I didn't cry, but I cursed loudly, and I ran in and I'm like, "You're lying!" it all comes out as anger. "You damn harlot! Tell me the truth!" And I was just all furious about it. And then you kind of live in denial with the whole, sort of like tilting your head this way and that in the mirror, like, "It's not too bad." But, So anyway, but so yeah, but so the thing is, like, so my hair was all short in the middle after this procedure, and then all long on the sides. And I finally went in to get a haircut this weekend. I'm like, ah, make it all the same length so it all grows out correctly. And to do that, they basically just got the clippers and they went, like, my entire head. So now my scalp is fine. It's just that my hair all the way around is like an eighth of an inch long. It really is fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean cringe-inducingly awful.
So you're still rocking the hat.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be free of the hat. I think I got at least one more week, though.
What's that hat?
And I'm no good with the hat. The hat just makes me look like a schmo. It really does. I look like a tool.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if you've seen this. Fox News is reporting that the cancellation of Studio 60 is upon us.
Right. I read that story, but did you notice that all those quotes were anonymous and all the information was what we call blind source anonymous?
Is that just a lot of Fox News saying it so, trying to make it so?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
not that they would ever do that, of course.
No.
Because they're unbiased.
Especially not to, like, an acknowledged liberal like Aaron Sorkin.
No, of course not.
Who knows is what I'm going to say. Yeah. Who knows? I would have a hard time thinking they would just deep six that show instantly, because I bet it indexes a lot of the people that they want to get watching their shows.
Well, it's that audience is probably an inch wide, but is a mile deep. You know, in other words, it's not a whole lot of people, but the people who watch that show have got power and money, it seems like.
Precisely.
So, and there is a little something, don't you think, that the network's keeping stuff on the air because, you know, not a boutique show, but you know what I mean, a prestige show?
There's that. NBC, and who knows what they have, like, to replace it. And also, you know, you're dealing with a lot of, I mean, and I could be absolutely wrong about all this, but you have a lot of people like, you know, your Aaron Sorkins and your Tommy Schlamis and Matthew Perrys and people who could theoretically do great things for you in the future, even if this project isn't coming together. You don't want to infuriate them by, you know, humiliating them in the fall, you know, with their new big sparkly show.
Well, it is kind of proving, though, what I said. That's why I've sort of quit watching, because I will, if it makes it all the way through the season, I will go back and watch the whole season at once.
You bailed on that show?
I did. Now, I didn't bail on it as such. My wife is still watching it, and they are all still being saved on the TiVo.
And you won't watch them because you're great?
No, I am breaking up with it before it breaks up with me. That's my thing, is if it makes it all the way through the season, I will go back and I will watch the entire show. I know this makes me sound
like... You're a very odd person.
Look, man, this has happened to me too much. I mean, everybody who knows me knows that I'm all the shows, like The Freaks and Geeks and Lucky and Sports Night, frankly. Uh-huh. And, you know, my so-called life, if you want to go back that far. And just shows that the network's, like, cruelly yanked out of me like a fetus from the womb. And... I mean, you know, and that's my thing. Is so, like, it's not that I don't love the show. I do. But it's like, I'm just not going to let myself get invested until it's finished this whole season, and then I'll go back and watch it all.
So if there's a movie that you're interested in, you don't want to see it unless it's at least 20 hours long.
No, that's not the same. The movie, now you're just making me sound ludicrous. You're making me sound crazy. I'm not mad. I'm just saying, I'm trying to get some emotional distance from the show, because if they blow it out, like, next week, then it'll hurt less. That's all I'm saying.
Steve, I'm here to tell you, it's not that great a show. You won't miss it that much, but you can enjoy it while it's here.
So I'll go back and watch it and just be like, ah, screw it.
Yeah, you
won't. Didn't matter anyway.
Why don't you just watch it and figure out the parts that are weak about it, and then when it goes, you can say, "Wow, good riddance."
So I should just be angry. So that's the thing, is trying to mentally psych yourself up for dumping your girlfriend.
Exactly.
Like, she's got crow's feet. She snores and she's stupid and she's totally trying to find reasons to dump it preemptively.
Yeah,
I like the way you think, Peter Carlin.
Yes, tedious.
Where can people read your blog, as the kids say?
Online, I think. I don't know what the precise address is because it has many backslashes and things, but if you go to OregonLive.com and then you go to the entertainment page, like on the left side, there's a thing with the blogs, and then you just look for my name.
You don't know what a blog is, do you?
It's a weblog.
Okay.
It's a log which you keep on the web.
All right. Well, anywho, so that's what people can do. Or just go to Google and type in Peter Carlin. That's what I do.
Well, but you got to throw the Ames in there. Other Peter Carlin.
You don't. Is there another Peter Carlin?
There's like loads of them, and a lot of them are nuts.
You know, there's a website, actually, that'll show you how many people in this country share your name.
Yo, really?
It's true. And it's based on, like, public records and so forth, so it's not really accurate. Mm-hmm. I get this guy named Rick Emerson, who I swear to God raises coon hounds in Alabama. And that's he constantly nags me about wanting to do, I swear to Christ this is true, he constantly wants to form some sort of organization for guys named Rick Emerson where we get together and hang out.
Yeah, there are all these Carlins in New York City who wanted to hang out with me.
Really? Is that true?
Some of them seem really nice, and I'm sure they were wonderful people. But this dude, this one dude in New York, when I was living there, named Peter Carlin, got married, and he and his lovely lady posed for their New York Times wedding announcement photo with their poodle.
Don't knock poodles. No, I got, there's the two Peter Carlins. There's the one guy who raises hounds in Alabama and one guy who sells real estate in Alaska.
Wow.
So there you go. So, all right, my friend. Peter Carlin, read him in print in the Oregonian, online at OregonLive.com, or somewhere out there on a blog, which is apparently fascinating.
Oh, that's the best part.
There you go. All right, my friend. We will talk to you next week.
Hi.
There you go, it's Peter Carlin. I'm so behind with these calls. I'm so desperately poor and lonely. We'll come back. We'll do these. We may have to finish this tomorrow. We may have to just finish this contest tomorrow. Has this contest gone too far? Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. I got to a lot today. Not really. Back after this. The saddest part of the broadcasting day, very quickly before we do this final news segment.
Scotty J.
David Cassidy. Not going to amount. Jack Squat. Be me up, Scotty. Hello, Scotty J. How are you, sir?
Doing good.
All right, so here's the thing. So we got. I got these callers on hold that I will not. I'll never possibly get to these callers. So do me this favor. Can you get the contact information? Because I've seen there's a couple really great stories here. Can you get the contact information for these callers on hold, and we will take them at the beginning of tomorrow's program?
Okay.
If they're able to do it, we'll take them at the very top of tomorrow's show.
I got it.
And then we'll roll this contest through tomorrow, because tomorrow is Halloween. So we'll roll this contest through tomorrow, and then tomorrow we'll give away the final pair of House of Midnight tickets and this Onion book. So these people on hold, I feel very badly that they've, I feel bad that they've held and we're not going to get to them. Can you do that?
Yes.
In other words, you have to do the dirty work, right?
Yes, exactly.
I'll get their number.
You're the person behind the scenes.
God bless you, Scotty J.
All right.
I'm going to write your obituary tonight, Scotty.
Thank you, good.
All right.
20 years of experience in there.
Yeah, we'll be sure to do
that.
Yeah, all right. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Midgets and catapults are top story today. It looks like those people are going to be okay. The accident that involved a catapult-like device being used to hurl pumpkins on the Hillsborough farm, leaving two people in serious condition. And they're on the cable reality show, which is Little People, Big World, which is seen on TLC. You have the dad, the mom, the twins, the sister, the youngest. And the next time it's going to be on will be November 4th. And the series is entitled Little Fork, Big Deck. So, according to the dad, it says here, quote, they both got clobbered pretty good, but they're going to be fine. And they're coming home from the hospital this afternoon. So there you can joke around all you want.
So there you go. See, now it's funny again.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
So they'll be fine.
By the way, Todd the Corp says, Rick, because I know you care, I am the only person in the United States with my name. And only 630 other people have my last name. And he signs it. I swear to God, I am a unique flower.
Mm.
So there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Peter Carlin has a fake Tim Riley on his blog.
Let's go, beat his ass.
Yeah,
let's kill it.
It's Tim Riley's art something or other. And the person stole my name.
No, it's you. Art is stupid.
It's probably the East Coast one. Well, local authorities say the best thing to do if you're a parent this Halloween is to check the registry of sex offenders.
That was clearly an accident. You can see the look of shock on everyone's face in the studio. That was creepy, is what that was.
Oh my.
That was sort of the creepy specter of Ed McCarthy looming over us.
I think we wanted Bank A.
Jesus. That was just sort of a whoa, ha ha. All right, let's try this again.
Moms and dads, before you take the kids out tonight, check the registry of sex offenders.
Carefully. Mm-hmm. And
the Attorney General and law enforcement across Illinois are recommending that parents take a few minutes, check the sex offender registry so that they know who may present a risk to their children, their neighborhoods, and can plan safe trick-or-treat.
How about you just be a goddamn responsible parent
and keep your kids with you? We're trying to ruin things for everyone.
You know what? The way our country's going, I'm surprised if they'll if they don't start to outlaw trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
Going from house to house, I could see that happening sometime.
You know what kind of bums me out? I don't mean to sound maudlin about this, but I got to tell you, speaking of outlawing trick-or-treating, you know, I live in Southeast, which everybody knows.
It's a great trick-or-treating neighborhood.
But it's sad, man. I mean, it really is. It's a downer. Because, look, I'm not into... Scotty is saying that there should be an age limit. Well, of course you think that, Scotty.
How can you tell that with people with masks?
I have no idea.
Please remove your mask so I can see if you're eligible for this campaign.
You must be at least this high. I have... But no, Lash, I'm not much... I, as you all know, I do not feel especially fond of nor warm towards children, either in theory or in reality.
Except on Christmas.
No, well, I'm
collecting toys
but,
and whatnot.
But I gotta, but as I say, the exception to that is, I'm, you know, and I'm not much into holidays. You do, the exceptions are Halloween and Christmas.
You don't want to cover with flies on the holidays.
I'm sorry?
I always think of pictures of children in these third world countries with their eyes covered with flies.
For Christmas?
Yeah, or
ho, ho, ho! That doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, it was a film I saw with Angelina Jolie.
It's a happy Somalian Christmas.
Ho, 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 ho. So what are you saying about children?
I honestly don't know. I was going to say, I think, that last year I spent several days decorating my home for Halloween.
For kids?
For the children. Yeah. And see, normally when we say for the children, we normally mean like screw children. Screw them, you know, to hell with them. That's normally what that means. But it honestly was for the children and kind of for me, because I'm juvenile and retarded. But I spent several days decorating my home last year for Halloween. Mm-hmm. And you know how we had the big, like, porch light on, and we have, like, a big... It's like a wrought iron owl that you fill with candles and it like sits on the porch and glows and it looks all cool. And I got the big candy supply, whatever. Four kids.
Your neighborhood's kind of sketchy.
6 hours. Four kids.
I wouldn't come and visit you at your house tonight.
I bet if it was rolls of toilet paper, at least you'd have a lady next door.
Now. I'm not saying they were wrong. Not that. I'm just saying it's kind of a downer. That's all I'm saying. I'm not disputing that my neighborhood is perhaps not ideal for wandering around late at night. I'm just saying
I'm
that
just
it's kind
make
of a downer.
Sure not to be home on Halloween because I don't want to open the door to strangers and little ruffians.
I don't want to open my door to well-scrubbed white suburban children.
Well, who knows who's going to be going through my... I mean, I'm woken up every night with a shopping cart going by my window. I mean, who knows what crazy person will be standing at my door.
See, how odd. See, I try to be sentimental on Halloween.
Christmas.
I really try to do something for the children, and it's just not possible because of where I live. So, all right, well, there you go. I just rent myself out. I'll just decorate some suburban home somewhere.
No, that's fine. I don't think I have anything more to say that could possibly top that today. Let's go out of this. Thank you much.
What about the Hick Watch?
Just give out methadone.
We'll do that tomorrow.
The Hick Watch is really terrible.
Mm-hmm. We need plenty of room for that. We're going to do it tomorrow.
All right. Are we done?
Here we are, yes.
We still have time.
I don't.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. Arts enthusiast and wearer of a cape. Fantastic.
I have nothing to do with arts.
Although I have no art.
Although that may be alleged in some other website.
All right, and we're done. All right. Great.
Tim, are you going to bring your costume tomorrow?
Odd ending to the day. Tomorrow's Halloween, isn't it? See, uh-huh. It's all your setting. I have no idea what I would even come up with. I have no
I'm going to try and find my
costume.
Rosie the Riveter costume. I'll wear that tomorrow.
No, Tim's got his V for Vendetta. Mm-hmm. Sarah's got Stevie Wonder. Scotty, what are you going as for Halloween? Are you wearing anything? He's going.
I can see Scotty J is dressing as Michael Jackson.
You're wearing a skull shirt. That's not a costume. I have no idea. I have no costume. I have nothing. Well, fine.
I'm not wearing my Wonder Woman costume to the office.
This whole program is just sort of dissipating. It was a good show, and now it's all falling apart at the end.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
5 minutes ago, we would have gone out strong. And we'll fix this in post-production. We'll just end it with Peter Carlin. Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm okay. What's up?
Well, obviously, Tim feels that you need some push-ups because he just chose not to do the Hick Watch there.
Yeah, the Hick Watch was really disturbing. I don't think we wanted to end on that today. The Hick Watch is not, it's unpleasant.
Nor did we hear about Nicole Richie.
No, we didn't. Well, did you have that story that she passed out?
Yeah, that nightclub after spending some time with Lindsay Lohan inside.
Oh, I didn't have that part.
And then Lindsay was pulled over by the cops at 6:45 in the morning.
Really?
Panicking, with makeup all over her face. At 6:45 a.m., she'd been up all night and saying that there were people chasing her trying to hit her car.
And the spiders, they won't stay on me!
And she was all tweaky and fabulous.
Hey, there you go. We've just done the Nicole Richie thing.
Okay, how about endangered white trash icon?
Oh, I didn't get to that either. I did not. That's me. That's all me. I didn't get to that.
He did get Clyde Lewis, the bungee cord story, Peter Carlin, best song this week, Bob Constantini, Jim Roop, and the Darwin Line.
Let me ask you this. Did or did not Clyde Lewis sound really high today?
He sounded extremely high.
I hate it.
I've known high Clyde and drunk Clyde. That's high.
That's high Clyde. I know that sometimes there are people who hear from third parties that I have spoke ill of them on this program. Usually those reports are unfounded. And Clyde, though, does that, too. Well, Clyde will say, like, and I heard that you were dogging. And here's the thing. Sometimes, I mean, look, I know I'm no one to point fingers here. But that was not only high Clyde. That was like high, rambly, endlessly going on and on Clyde that just was never going to stop. I mean, that guy, I think we had to cut him off at like an hour and a half. He just kept going and going. That's how you can tell that Clyde is high, by the way, because even as much as that guy normally talks, he just sort of, like, all the filters are gone. He just sort of goes on and on to the break of dawn.
Hey, I sent you an email this earlier, but I did some research for you. Bridgeport Out Tigers still has Nightmare Before Christmas. They're going to keep it through at least Thursday.
Okay. And is it is like a nighttime thing only, or?
No, it plays all day, too, but... 4:00, 7:15, and 9:30.
Cool, fantastic.
Are the evening show times? So, and I know that they'll have it through at least Thursday. They may have it another week, but they won't know that for a couple days.
Excellent. All right. So, so where am I at push-up wise here?
At 2, put you at 47.
All right, 47. That's not bad, though. That's not bad. Seeing as how, I don't know whether today's show was great or not, but on the one hand, it felt like we got to a lot of things. On the other hand, I got all this crap in front of me that I did not get.
I got
to.
A proposition here. Yeah. I will five off if you take pictures of your extremely bad haircut, put them on the website.
Yeah.
You're going to have to have Laura do that one.
I don't know.
I will take 10 off if you can get a picture of your head next to Sarah in the Wonder Woman costume.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to go as powder. That's going to be my thing. Just all pale and hairless. Now, again, it's not that my scalp looks bad. The scalp looks totally fine. You know what it is? I'm trying to think of somebody around here that we would know. It's like Jeff McGinley, engineer. That's what it looks like. I look like one of those guys that just is good with having a buzz cut. It's just that I am not that guy. Some guys can rock that haircut. I cannot because I'm just skinny and pale and so forth.
You need hair.
What I'm saying. I'm a guy who needs some hair to look normal. So I got like another week, unfortunately, under the hat, I think. And even then, it's still going to be short. But
is that a new one? I like that hat.
This is a new one. I went to Lloyd's Center. I went to Lids. And this is Nate Baker who steered me this way, because Nate has a hat, like it's just a plain black hat, and then he has like buttons and crap on it, and I can't get away with that, because I can't make the buttons work. But because that's what I want, is just sort of a plain black hat. But man, you never feel less cool than when you're like at the Lids place, which is where it's just lots of sport-oriented youth buying their sporty hats.
Is that a kiosk?
No, it's that place, it's right next to, it's like a store, I think it's right by the Scamps, the pet store. At Lloyd Mall, at the Lloyd Center? Yeah. So I just got like the plain black hat. So this is what I think I'm going to do. Because I can't, there was only so many days I could come to work in like jeans and a t-shirt. I mean, eventually they were just going to start thinking that I was a janitor or something. That's never going to work. So, all right, brother, man, we will check in with you, tomorrow?
We'll do. And like I said, the offer stands. Five foot, a bounty picture of your buzz head.
Great. Great. Now everybody's going to try to ambush me with a cell phone. Great. Rick Emerson is the new Lindsay Lohan. All right. Lycus coming up next. Don't forget, he's going to be here in studio on Thursday, and he'll be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour, and he will be live from Barracuda Friday, 3 to 7. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Jim Roop and Bob Costantini, as well as Peter Carlin. Tomorrow, Dennis Pitzenbarger on the show. Sarah X. Dillon produces the show today and every day. Scotty J. is the PA. Tim Riley is the news director. Dave Zinn manages the Rick Emerson Office East. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards run it down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bubba Shabayev.